Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, offering quality live programming with holistic, spiritual, psychic, and metaphysical hosts.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to We Get Results. It's Tuesday, February 26, 2019, and I am your host, Mary Singer Albertson. If you haven't joined me before, my program airs the fourth Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m. Eastern and is archived for later listening. The purpose of We Get Results is to inform listeners of ways they can get involved and make a difference in the U.S. and globally. Be the change you want to see in the world. We are the ones we've been waiting for. There's no one else coming. It's up to us. And the founder of Results, Sam Daly Harris, has said, "The biggest challenge is how few of us see ourselves as change makers. But we all can be change makers if we find out exactly what we need to do." So one of the best ways I've found is for one person to make a difference is taking action through the Results organization. Results is a volunteer citizens lobby, meeting with members of the U.S. Congress, creating the political will to end hunger and poverty in the U.S. and globally. Check it out at www.results.org. Be an advocate for people who have no voice. So today I'm honored to welcome my guest, Sister Simone Campbell of Nuns on the Bus. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her background. And so Sister Simone Campbell is the Executive Director of Network Lobby for Catholic Social Justice, a federal advocacy organization founded by Catholic sisters to lobby in Washington, D.C. for policies that mend the gaps in income and wealth in the United States. She has led six cross-country Nuns on the Bus trips focused on tax justice, health care, economic justice, comprehensive immigration reform, voter turnout, bridging divides in politics and society, and mending the gaps. Sister Simone Campbell wrote the famous Nuns Letter, considered by many as critically important in convincing Congress to support the Affordable Care Act in 2010. And she's also the author of A Nun on the Bus, How All of Us Can Create Hope, Change, and Community. She's received numerous awards, spoke at the 2012 Democratic National Convention, has appeared on 60 Minutes, The Colbert Report, and The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. She's a religious leader, attorney, and poet with extensive experience in public policy and advocacy for systematic change. She also has spoken at the Results International Conference when I was there several years ago, and she was just so inspirational, so I'm so excited to have her for my guest today. And so, Sister Simone, I want to thank you for joining me today. Are you there?
Yes, I am. So glad to be with you, Mary.
Oh, thank you. I enjoyed hearing your message so much in D.C., and it's just really exciting. So I'm thinking maybe would you want to start by telling us a little bit about your organization, Network?
Oh, absolutely. Love to. Well, like Results, Network is an organization of people around the country who believe if we band together, we can work for justice in our nation and in our world. We were founded in 1971. The idea was born and opened our doors in 1972. Originally, we were all Catholic sisters, and the idea was not to create a new organization, but rather to create a network of existing relationships that we had as Catholic sisters. Now, all these years later, network means something a little bit different in this internet world, but we continue to be a voice on Capitol Hill working with our members and colleagues all around the country, making a difference. Folks have been doing in-district lobby visits and are engaging in their members of Congress when they're home at various recesses, as well as contacting them in their offices in D.C. It's a great group, and I love working with all of our members.
Well, it sounds really exciting. I'm going to go to my brand new member of Congress, Haley Stevens, has an event tonight at 6. So I'm going to go and see her over there. She's an exciting new freshman member of Congress, and we are just thrilled to have several new
as
members
you
of Congress.
Should be. Yes, it's a great
Michigan.
Crop. It's a great crop.
Yeah, we've already gone to see Rashida Tlaib, who saw us for an hour and a half. And we have Alyssa Slotkin, and we have Andy Levin, and just we're really excited about the people that we're going to be lobbying right now because they really care about all people. So, you know, the work sounds very exciting with Network, and I know you have something new happening around the country, the Rural Roundtable. Maybe you could tell us something about that.
Oh, right. Well, thanks for this opportunity. Well, you know, I'm a city girl, and so many of our members are what I call city folk or suburban folk.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the maps of the United States where there's healthcare is struggling, where education is struggling, where there's problems in the economy, what we realized here at Network was when you looked at where people were in trouble, over and over again, it was rural America. And when you look at where people are feeling left out, disgruntled, angry, unseen, that's also rural America.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided here at Network is that we're going to do a project this year where at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, we're doing rural roundtables. What these are small gatherings of 10 to 20 people from rural communities to get together and talk about,
mm-hmm.
educate us about the reality of living in rural America, what the challenges mm-hmm. are, and what solutions people see for themselves. It's really an exciting chance for us to get educated, and I have to confess, I ran into several prejudices that I had already, and we're just getting started in it. Let me tell you what I was. We were in New Mexico, out in the Laguna Pueblo, the indigenous Pueblo, about an hour and a half outside of Albuquerque. And we're
mm-hmm.
talking with a whole group of Pueblo people, and I talked about poverty, and meaning economic poverty. And
mm-hmm.
one of the leaders, one of the chiefs, looked at me and says, "Don't call us poor. Look at the richness all around us. Look at the beauty that we have." And it's this desert beauty. He said, "We are rich. We are rich in everything around us. We have some economic issues. We have economic issues that need to be addressed." And I realized that my focus on the economy as being the measure of poverty negated all of the richness of their tradition and of the beauty of the landscape. And my narrow focus made them feel left out. And that to me was startling. But then to learn of how they work with the land, how the they may not have electricity, but how they learn to keep things cool. It was a real big education for me. So that we are more aware and able to craft solutions that represent all of the people in the U.S., not just the city folk that I know. So it was pretty surprising.
Yeah.
Are you yourself a city folk? Would you consider yourself city folk?
Well, I'm a suburban Detroit folk.
I'm
outside of Detroit in the suburbs. So I'm not rural. It's you know, all built up around here, but I'm not really urban. But
Well,
I guess I'm kind of in the middle. And but
well, maybe you could
know,
be the bridge people. Yes.
Yeah. Well, but we've already, you know, like I said, we've already met with Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, and she covers Detroit, half of Detroit, and She's already working on affordable housing. And
right.
One of our members of our group that was there, she's what Results called expert on poverty because she actually is experiencing poverty in her life. So she talked to the congresswoman all about that, and the congresswoman was so excited. She said, I am so glad that you came. She said, I'm just about to schedule a meeting with Lieutenant Governor Gilchrist, and I want you to come to that about housing. So, I mean, she was already, you know, on the ground working on some of the things that we were interested in, and she saw us for an hour and a half, which is unheard of. So we were thrilled about that.
That's great. Yeah.
So there's a lot of things happening, and a lot of, especially the new people seem to care about all people, not just about rich people. So very excited about that. So So what are you finding as far as challenges of the urban-rural divide?
Oh, well, one of the things that we're finding consistently is the challenge of the broadband internet access is that rural America is being left behind. Podcasts and all of the electronic ways we have of communicating these days are not readily available in rural America. We were in one rural area. We were at a school, and the students were, junior high students were showing us a prize-winning video that they had made, but they had to use the principal's cell phone as a hotspot in order to be able to access YouTube and the internet. In the middle of showing us this this video, the principal gets a call, because this is the school phone, he gets a call and we had to stop watching the video so he could take the call about school administration. And it struck me about how limited access is in rural communities, and how if students don't have that same savvy on the internet, well, then it's going to be really difficult for them going forward. But then we also heard that farmers on big agricultural machinery these days, many of the fancy new machines depend on GPS to plow their fields. And if they don't have good connectivity, they can't line up I don't know the names of all the machines, but for plowing, for, you know, creating the rows for corn or wheat or that, they're all lined up with GPS in order to maximize yield for each of the fields. But if you don't have access to the GPS, then you end up limiting your harvest, which was, I never realized that. And so the access to the internet becomes a critical factor for not just learning in schools, but also functioning as a farmer. And folks who can't afford these fancier machines then also don't have as big of a crop yield. There are things that I had no idea about. It was really...
Yeah, and then complicated with all the... new stuff that farmers have to cope with as far as just the things that are being passed right now, so that they aren't going to be able to sell all their soybeans and everything like that.
Right. Some of this trade war. You think farming is kind of a simple occupation. Well, I discovered, was I a city girl in that one, trying to learn a whole different world.
Yeah.
But how important it is for us to create solutions together and to listen with an ear to finding both common ground and then solutions that can be supported. Like in healthcare, one of the big challenges is I was in talking to a head of a small hospital in rural Arizona, and he was saying that it's very hard to get medical professionals to come, and one of their big problems is housing. that they don't have quality housing available. And so the hospital system was going to fund getting some housing built in this small community in rural Arizona, in southwestern Arizona. And they had contractors come down and bid on the project, but even though the hospital system was going to guarantee construction and purchase of these homes, they said the contractors, after figuring it out, said it wasn't economically viable for them to construct housing. It wouldn't work. There wasn't enough of a profit to be made for it to be worth their while. And so I knew that urban America has housing issues, but I had not realized that rural America also has some big housing issues.
Yeah.
The aging of rural housing stock is dramatic, and there's not much incentive with our profit motive to build in these rural communities. So it's harder to get professionals to come and staff hospitals.
And don't you feel like they don't even listen? They don't take time to listen to what the needs are sometimes?
Right. Often people, certainly this doctor felt like nobody was really listening to what was going on, what his actual concerns were. I mean, it was quite clear that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
But there are worlds we need to be aware of if we're really going to be one nation. And that's where I think some of the tension that we're experiencing in our nation right now, that's so painful, at least I experience it as real painful, is that we're not doing too much listening to each other. We're doing a lot of yelling at each other, but not much listening.
Yeah. Or if they listen, then they go ahead and do the opposite thing anyway.
Well, there's that, too. Well, that's why we have to stay on top of them. We have to stay in relationship.
Yeah.
That's the challenge. Yeah.
And I think with the government being closed for that time, everybody is having a harder time now because of all that. And I don't know how that's all going to be made up so that people have what they're supposed to have, so they can get by and pay for the places they're living and their food and everything else.
I know.
Hopefully,
especially the contractors.
Yes, the contractors. That sounds, yes, I've heard a lot about that. But so how do you think this is going to be doing going forward with the roundtables and all that? What can people get involved in that, or what exactly?
Absolutely. So we're doing these around the country, there's two ways to get involved. One is we're going to be summarizing our learning and be sharing it broadly. So if people are interested, they should go to info@ networklobby.org and email us, and we'll get you on our distribution list if you're curious in learning more about what we're learning in this process. As we go forward, we're going to be publishing on our website, networklobby.org, where we're going to be holding these so that if people are interested, they can let us know. Coming up, we have in Minnesota. We're doing one in Minnesota on the Wisconsin border, so we're drawing from both Minnesota and Wisconsin. We have California, up Northern California. We've got Mississippi, Alabama coming up, and one more in the works Missouri. In the Boot Heel in Missouri. So those are the places where we've got them coming up in the next couple of months. But if folks are interested, they can reach out to us, as I say, at through our website. We'd be happy to include them.
Yeah. As far as, other things that you're working on, are there other programs that you've got going on right now, or are you mostly just working on that?
Oh, no, we've got a lot else going on. Glad you asked. I appreciate that, Mary.
Yeah.
We work on basically we say that it's our, we have seven basic policies that we work on for economic justice. And part of it is tax policy, but the big things we're working now are on now are living wages and on what we call family-friendly workplaces. The fact that most low-wage workers have no paid time off, they have no sick time, they have no capacity to care for sick kids, we think that's wrong in the richest nation on earth. It's also wrong as a public health issue because most of the fast food workers don't have sick time, so workers have a tendency to come to work even if they're not feeling well. And that makes me nervous about the health care for the rest of us in the process. So we think it's both a public health issue as well as a humanitarian concern that everyone should have some paid time off, both to care for family members but also to have sick days for themselves. Those are, and living wages, making sure that wages can support families. The fact that so many of our low-wage workers are working two, three, and I met a man the other day that's working four jobs, that's wrong. That's just wrong. When we have this ultra wealth in our nation, there's enough to go around if we share. So we've got some very specific legislation that we're working on in raising wages.
Good, because I know, you know, with results, we're always talking about stuff like, you know, these people are just barely lifting themselves out of poverty, but they're only one emergency of someone being ill or their car dying or having to take care of a parent, or just one thing because they don't have money in the bank is going to throw them right into poverty. So we really need help with that. And I think, I don't know what if your statistics say, one in five, but around one in five kids that don't know if they're going to eat today in the U.S. that are food insecure. And that's just not acceptable.
Right. And what I think people lose sight of sometimes with statistics is we can say that, well, you know, they're not doing their part. They're not working hard enough. But what I think people really need to, and what we're learning is low-income people are working really hard. It's not, the issue isn't hard work. The issue is the level of wages. It also would mean if, say, a fast food industry paid living wages, say $15 an hour or higher, depending upon the area in which you live, it would mean that we would each have to pay a quarter more. But there's also the possibility that the CEO and top management might be able to take a couple of $1,000 less in income and share it with their employees. So I think that this idea that we're not just responsible for getting as much as I can as individualism, I think what we really have to say is that, and what Results does such a good job doing, is saying that we're in this together. It's only when we take action together or we care for the whole, the common good, is that we really are best as a nation. And that's sort of got lost recently, it seems to me. So we're trying to get people to engage in the common good. And while I'll confess I'm a registered Democrat, but what I'm saying to my friends, the Republicans, is please take back your party. Be the party of business, but let's work for the sake of the 100%. Let's get engaged together to figure out the way forward. This idea of hyper wealth, hyper disparity between the top and the bottom, it's sucking the life out of our nation, and it's not good for any of us.
Well, it's so ridiculous because if you're a millionaire or a billionaire and they give you a tax increase, you're not even going to notice that you have so much money. You know, they aren't even going to notice that. And there's so many people that need it so badly, and it's just, it's heartbreaking because, and the same with the pharmaceuticals, we've got to do something about that also.
Right. But you know, the pharmaceutical issue is really the same issue. The question is that they keep paying such money at the top that there's nothing about the consumer or the patients who are trying to use their products. And that's where I heard recently, I benefited from the polio vaccine when I was a little kid, and I found out that, you know, that Jonas Salk, who created the polio vaccine, never patented it. He never got a dime out of it because he said it was his responsibility to share it with the world. Well, now if pharma would take that same attitude and share their research with the world, ironically, the research is mostly funded by the federal government, so you would think the government would have an interest in the products that it helps create. But it's really a really different attitude. And so at the basis of all this struggle is to recover the idea that we're in it together, let's work together so that everybody can thrive. That's what we're about.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need to see people not having the ability to go to a doctor and heal themselves of something small, which is going to turn into something huge if they don't get treatment. And,
Absolutely.
So I think there's just so much that it's hard to even wrap your head around everything that we need to do. But I think that with some of our new legislators, I think that's going to help, for one thing. And I think that people need to know that they need to contact their members of Congress. I know when we would go with results, we had one person say to us, oh, we love it when you come on the Hill and lobby our office, because you're not lobbying for something that's going to give money to yourself. You're trying to help other people. And another one even said, you elect us and then you abandon us. You don't even tell us what you want us to do. Well, some of them don't want to know, but a lot of them do want to know what we want. And so I really think that people need to make sure that they do try to get a hold. It's so easy, and I think people just have no idea. I think sometimes people will say lobbying, which sounds big, but really is just telling your members of Congress what you care about and what you'd like them to do and what you need and why you're having a hard time. And you're the constituent, you're their boss, call them, make sure you tell them you're a constituent and tell them you want to call back when they tell you what their boss has to say about your request. So it really is not that hard. People need to try it and they'll see how easy it really is. So
absolutely, I totally agree. And the other piece is we don't have to know what the solutions are. We can tell our representatives what the problem is, and then they're getting paid to figure out how to solve the problem. So it's really that's what we need to do, is to make clear what the problems are and help hold our elected officials accountable. It's what democracy is. It's hard work, but it's what we have to do. Yeah. But everybody just needs to do their part. That's the key. You don't have to do it all. Yeah. We just have to do each one of us has to do our part.
And what your little part is around you, if it has to do with your school board or if it has to do with city council or whatever, you know, you don't need to have everything going to the U.S. Congress. There's stuff we can do that needs to be worked on in our own cities. For our own kids. And so I really appreciate all that you're doing. I don't know if there's any other areas that you'd like to mention. I had this nice quote at the end of part of the stuff online about network, which says, network commits to upholding human dignity, embracing our right and responsibility to participate, standing with those living in poverty, bridging divisions, uniting with workers, and nurturing the earth. And that pretty much covers it. So we know you're going in the right direction. And I don't know if you have anything about that particular, that area that you'd like to finish up with. I'd like you to maybe talk a little bit about mending the gaps that you're going to speak on at our event. But what else would you want people to know?
Well, Mary, maybe I can just say that our whole orientation really is towards that income and wealth disparity, and we think it's mending the gaps in our society. It's the gaps, economic gaps, but it's also that the gap that gets created between people that get too often left out of our care. So we are value-based, engaged in making a difference in our society. That's what it is. And if we each do our part, it all gets done. Mm-hmm. So I'm really grateful, Mary, for you doing your part by having this broadcast. It makes such a difference. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I have the last couple of months, I had Ken Patterson from Results on, and we were talking about what we can do now that the election is over. We're not sitting down on the couch. We've got work to do. So the last couple, shows I had about that, and then also about the gerrymandering and the way things are going with that the last few shows. So if people wanted to go on the archived shows, they could get some more information on that. And I'm probably going to repeat this interview next time because it will be a few days before our results event where you are the keynote. And we're so excited that we're going to get to have you at that in Ann Arbor. And I'm hoping that maybe you could just kind of give people just a taste of what you're going to talk about mending the gap, and maybe they will want to come out there because it's going to be a really great afternoon.
Well, it should be fun because one of the things that we're going to be looking at is not just statistics, but rather engaging the stories of real people and how policies make a difference in people's lives. And I think sometimes it seems cold and distant, but it actually is a vibrant story of what are the consequences. So we're going to look at some of the tax policy that most people get really bored about, but it's actually quite exciting when you see the impact of tax policy and then how we can make change happen. So stay tuned for good stories about good people trying to make a difference.
Yes, and we just thank you for all you're doing, and we know you're making such a difference now and already, and we'll be looking forward to hearing more. We have some results, people that are also going to share a little bit about what has happened with them, and so, you know, I think it should be a really interesting afternoon, which is on Sunday, March 31st at 2:30 in the afternoon in Ann Arbor at Bethlehem United Church of Christ. And for more information or to purchase tickets, you can go on results.salsalabs.org/Sister Simone. And any questions that you want answered, you can contact resultsannarbor@gmail.com or 202-783-4800, extension 131. So we were thrilled to have you at our Results International Conference. If anybody feels like they want to get involved, that's another really great way to get involved. This last year, I think we had people from 25 countries lobbying the World Bank, along with people from every state lobbying Congress. And Michigan gets really into it. And we saw every Michigan congressional office in 2 days, which was 16 days. So that was a little much, but we did a pretty good job. And they're pretty much happy to see us because they know we're not there trying to persuade them to do something for someone who wants to make more money. So results is great, too. So I hope that people will try to join us. We go and visit all the Congress people, such as Debbie Dingell and Debbie Stabenow and Gary Peters and Brenda Lawrence and all the new people. And we really have a great time. So thank you so much for everything that you contributed today. Is there anything else you'd like to leave us with except come and see you on March 31st?
Come and join us on March 31st, and in the meantime, keep doing your part. That's how we make democracy work.
That's right. Thank you so much. God bless you and everyone else that's working with you, and we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Super. Looking forward to it. Take care, Mary.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Simone. Bye-bye. So we will be speaking again. The program will be the fourth Tuesday in March, which will just be a few days before our event in Ann Arbor. So I will look forward to speaking with you all then. Thanks for tuning in. Take care. Bye.